Sanusha, good morning.
Good morning, Suleiman.
Always a pleasure speaking to you. Now, the U.S. is to host a democracy summit. Taipei is invited. Beijing is not.
Yeah, that's a fascinating one. So basically what Biden has done is that he's created this kind of League of Democracies, and they have the, and of course, based on that, they're hosting a democracy summit between the 9th and the 10th of December. South Africa is included. I think there's about 14 African countries that have been invited to the summit. But Taiwan is an interesting one because Taiwan is invited on the basis that it is a democratic society, and the relationship between Washington and Taipei has always been one where Washington has protected Taipei in the context of China's broader geostrategic interests. Now, this has really irked Beijing, because what it means is that what the U.S. is doing is that the U.S. is recognizing that Taiwan is an independent sovereign state, whilst China believes that Taiwan, Macau, Hong Kong, and other areas are all formed part of one China policy. So this is not sitting well in Beijing, but it's also not creating any kind of easing of tensions between Washington and Beijing, despite the summit or the virtual summit that Xi Jinping and President Biden had last week. So what this means is that by recognizing Taiwan, you're actually recognizing that Taiwan is a separate entity from China. And of course, this is a historical battle that these countries have had in terms of the unified China. But having said that, it's also curious because the U.S. in itself does not recognize Taiwan as a sovereign state. So I guess that again tells you how politics plays out for geostrategic competition and interests.
And the Peng Shuai case intensifies. What's happening there?
Well, as you know, a few weeks ago, the former tennis star, doubles tennis star, accused a former senior vice premier in the Communist Party of sexual abuse. And she made the comments on, I think it was on either on social media or in an interview. And then a few days later, there was no way in which people could verify if she had gone silent, radio silent, or whether she was forced to go radio silent. So that has become a big key issue and an international diplomatic issue between countries, between social movements, NGOs, etc., who are saying that the free speech and her freedom of speech is being infringed upon in China because it's the accusation or the allegation is that the Chinese government has basically muted her. Then, of course, over the weekend, we see that she had a 30-minute interview with the chairperson of the International Olympic Committee, saying that everything is fine. She appeared on a few of television screens in China, and of course she was at an exhibition match, etc. And then she said, you know, she just wants her privacy, she wants to be sure she's safe, she's in Beijing, etc. But this hasn't been accepted by particular quarters in the international community. For example, Human Rights Watch and others are claiming that, you know, this is a violation of her rights. The Chinese are not allowing her to exercise her freedom of rights and so forth. And now it's actually escalating into an international issue where France, the UK, I think even the US have come out to criticize the Chinese. And the Chinese are saying, well, you know, this is our issue. We're going to deal with this the way that we want to deal with it. I think what's really sad about this whole affair is that nobody's recognizing that the way in which women are treated, particularly when it comes to these kinds of issues of vulnerability and acts of violence against women, and especially when it's these kinds of challenges. It's not about all of the other stuff. Once we have to recognize, you know, people have the right to freedom of expression and so forth. The fact of the matter is we're still sitting with a global pandemic against women. Women who are basically feeling vulnerable, treated as second-class citizens and so forth. So I think the challenge here is, yes, we have to understand that the Chinese need to also not lock down the space. But at the same time, my question to another interview on the same subject was, well, in other societies, women may have freedom of choice and freedom of expression and be able to call out their aggressors or people who have abused them. But again, in those societies, there are subtle ways where patriarchy and authorities in those societies tend to mute women. So I think at the end of the day, this situation is escalating for all the wrong reasons.
And then finally, ASEAN and China mark 30th anniversary of relations.
Absolutely. This is a big thing. It was a virtual summit that President Xi Jinping had addressed. It's a 30-year anniversary between the two sides. I think if you look at their trade, their economic engagement, it's reached about $310 billion. It's basically been booming, although COVID has interrupted that economic boom. But it's also politically very significant because ASEAN is a very interesting strategic economic bloc in the South Asia context, Southeast Asia context. And what's nice about it is that they don't let China, as a big actor in the region, get too big in ASEAN. So one of the things that came out of the summit yesterday, in the last couple of days, was the question of how much of support China would give the bloc in terms of vaccines, in terms of COVID, both PPE and non-PPE related COVID intervention support, and also buying from the region in order to stimulate, from the bloc rather, in order to stimulate economic development and growth. I think it's a very important one as well because they're talking about a nuclear-free zone, which China wants to support in the ASEAN bloc as well. So this is a big, important dynamic because it comes on the back of the tensions that reside in the South China Sea with the U.S. and then, of course, the tensions with Australia and, of course, the U.K. and NATO is in there. So I think ASEAN and China have a very interesting relationship. And just to mention before I leave, Suleiman, that on the 28th to the 30th, China will be having another big meeting, and that is the China-Africa Forum with about 54 African countries.
Super. As always, thank you so much for your time, Samusha. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure, and always good to be on the show, and have a great day.